Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and today we're going to have an interview with John the Nice Guy from cchits.net. Hello John, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you very much for coming on and talking to us here on HPR. So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Sure. So, I'm John the Nice Guy Spriggs. I've been working in IT for about near enough 10, 11 years now. But the company I work for, I have a very specific role that I play within that company, and there's not really any chance to kind of expand your boundaries within the working day, and that's fine. You know, if I wanted that sort of a job, I'd be working for Google. Please hire me, Google. But no, it's fine. It's a good job and it pays the wages. But in the evenings, I get a little bit of an itch to code on stuff, and every now and then I produce these weird and wonderful projects, and you know, some of them you might even have heard of, but it's, you know, this is probably the first one that's ever going to have crossed anyone's radar as actually being a project of any interest. But you know, aside from that, I live in the UK. I'm currently living in the northwest, near Manchester, but I grew up just on the outskirts of London, hence the unusual, you know, northern accent that isn't there. So,
are you going to be going to Oddcamp this year?
I'm certainly planning to be there. Last year, if you were there, you may have actually seen another one of my projects, which was the timetabling system was mine. So, hopefully they're using it this year, but I don't know. I'm planning to be there, definitely.
Okay, good. I haven't been there last year, or indeed the year before.
Right.
I was at the first two Lug Radio ones, and then kind of life and three kids got in the way, as it will happen.
Yeah, as I'm about to discover going into my first one. Well,
yes, six, indeed.
12 weeks into my first child, so.
Yeah, as you discover the meaning of life and your irrelevance.
Well, I think it's very interesting that this is the first kind of interview that I've done about CC Hits since my child was born. So, definite time sink. Absolutely. Well, in the bestest possible way, but yes.
Absolutely, I know exactly what you mean. But it gets easier once you get over the first year of trying to keep them alive. Then it gets easier, and it also gets harder. But let's focus on the positive.
Let's focus on the positive.
Exactly. CCHits.net. Yep. Tell me about it. What it is?
Okay, so CCHits.net is a it started out as a project to publicise and promote Creative Commons licensed music.
So what's Creative Commons licensed music?
Okay, so for those that don't already know, Creative Commons is an organisation, I believe they're in the States, who produced a set of guidelines. Well, it's a license. It's like a copyright. No, it uses copyright to enforce a license, and that license is very permissive. So, if you are aware of any of the permissive software licenses, like the GPL or the BSD licenses, then it's the same sort of concept. You know, you give your work away, and then you anyone can use it. The difference between it's most of the Creative Commons licenses are slightly more along the same lines as the copyleft style licenses, which is, okay, perhaps that's, again, jumping a little bit too far into it. So, in essence, so, each of the licenses encourages reuse. But they become more restrictive the more kind of tags you get to them. So there's four main tags in the Creative Commons licenses. So there's by attribution, which is where it any piece of work requires any reuse of the work requires attribution of the original artist. And it's the same for, you know, if you're with a book, with a film, with a piece of music, you know, any art form can be licensed with a Creative Commons tag.
Yeah.
There's share alike, which says that if you reuse this work, you have to use the same license conditions. No derivatives says that you can't reuse this piece of work, but you can share it. So you can't make a derivative work from it. And a derivative work would be, if you've got a book, it would be to make it into a film or an audio book. If you've got a piece of music, a derivative work of that would be to sample it or to make a film from it. And those sorts of things. And the last one is a non-commercial license, which basically says you can't reuse it in any situation where you might make money from it. So typically, bands that are trying to encourage consumer adoption of their music might consider licensing it under a non-commercial tag, because they can, because they're the owners of the work, they can relicense it to somebody once they've heard it and they say, I want to use this at my place of business, in my advertising campaign, in my film. But you have to go back to the artist and ask them for that. Likewise, a lot of artists that are trying to make everything come through them before it's reused would use a non-derivative license, because then it means that they control when it's reused and how it's reused without stopping people from saying, have you heard this great band, they're fantastic, and giving a copy to each of their friends. So that's Creative Commons licensed piece of music. Well, the licenses generally. And effectively, the licensed music is just music that has a license tag from Creative Commons.
Okay, fantastic. Very, very well explained. Here on HPR, we're going through a process of relicensing from CC by SA to... CC by NC to CC by SA. So basically, we're dropping the non-commercial.
Right. Okay, that's cool.
Sell CDs and stuff. Do you have? So tell us a little bit then about CC Hits. Why you built it then? Given that you have this music available, so where did?
Okay, so like with any crazy idea, there's always like a few different things that come together. And encourage you to go down a route of starting something. The first was that I'm involved in, used to be a lot more heavily involved in, but less so now. I've been involved in the hackerspace for Manchester. The building's called Mad Lab, and the group that meets there is Hackman. And I was involved in that for around about a year and a half or thereabouts. Went to a few events, and people were putting on, you know, bits and pieces of music, and I was kind of niggling in the back of my head. I knew that there was something about, you know, you've got to be careful about what music you play and that you've got permission to play it. So whenever I was there, I was trying to encourage people to listen to podcasts like the Rat Hole Radio podcast and the Bugcast. So, you know, great podcasts.
Classics.
Absolutely. Just listening to them by yourself is brilliant. Because you get involved in the show as a person. Both Rat Hole Radio and the Bugcast, just to name two. There's other great music shows, but they're the ones that I was interested in at the time when I was doing this initially. They both had live shows, so in some occasions I'd get into the IRC channels at the same time as the shows were being recorded. You'd get involved in the conversation, and I thought, yeah, these are really great shows to play in a social environment. So I get to Hackman, and I plug in my MP3 player and tune it, set it up to play the podcast, and somebody says, oh, there's a lot of talking in this, isn't there? And I thought, ooh, you know what, you might actually be right there. So I'd skip on a minute, and they'd still be talking, and I'd skip on another minute, and they'd still be talking. And I'd look at the playlist for the show, and I'd think, oh, actually, you know what, for an hour's show, you know, you've got maybe six tracks here. They're not all going to be 10 minutes apiece.
Are you saying Dan Lynch talks a lot?
I'm just reciting what happened on that particular occasion. I'm not possibly saying that a show called Rat Hole Radio may potentially rat hole his own content every now and then. Not in the slightest. Dan's a very good friend of mine. And I don't want to offend him.
He provides a lot of excellent background information on
that
all the tracks.
That is exactly what it is. A lot of background information. And don't get me wrong, like I said, when you're listening to the shows yourself, that's the sort of thing you really go for. I really go for.
Absolutely.
Because you feel like you're involved in the show. You feel like, you know, the banter that you're having in the IRC at the same time as the show's going on, that's being picked up by the people that are producing these shows, it works really well for a live show that's intended for an individual's consumption. But when you're trying to play it in a venue to a group of people that really are only interested in something to break up the monotony of, you know, a soldering iron in hand, leaning over a circuit board, melting solder onto that board, or, you know, programming some code, they want something to distract them rather than, you know, something that they're going to fall asleep through.
So basically you want some background music.
Yeah. So my initial thought was, well, I'll just find, you know, 3 hours worth of Creative Commons music and just sling that into a feed and play it. And then I found a podcast that did that. And I thought, actually, I kind of like knowing what the tracks are. So I need a little bit of talking. But it was around about the same time as this came up that I discovered my wife was pregnant, and I thought, committing yourself to producing a podcast, that involves an awful lot of talking. Maybe me doing a podcast, not such a great idea, but I really want to. By this point, I'd really started getting into some of the Creative Commons music, and I was really starting to feel quite positive about the fact that I wanted to produce a show that was promoting Creative Commons music. So I'm thinking, no, I really do want to do a podcast. And around about the same, well, I kind of heard for a little while, the Linux Outlaws podcast, another podcast that Dan Lynch is involved in. They had some information about the community. So it was, you know, how you find the IRC channel, how you get involved in the Identica group, how you get involved in the Twitter group, where the forums are, you know, all these sorts of things, you know, get involved at da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they did all that using a robotic voice, which they called...
what was it now? Not Einstein, but
Hawkins. It was something to do with something along the lines of Hawkins.
Hawkman. That's right. Hawkman.
And that was a play on something that Dan had played in one of the Rat Hole radio shows, and it all. I mean, it was all kind of a little bit self-referential, and it was, you know, it's fine, funny, and stuff. And I kind of thought, so there's text-to-speech has come on quite a long way since, you know, I played with the utility that came on the Sound Blaster card, you know, sort of back in 94, 95 sort of time. Oh, you know, maybe there's something to be had here. Maybe I can, you know, do something with this. So I had a bit of a dig around and found Festival. And I'm trying to find out how Festival works. And somebody posts a link to a little web script that they'd written to produce a text file that could then be read by Festival. And I thought, well, that's really good. And then there was a drop down of all the voices you could have. And I thought, I like picking from voices. And finally found a female voice. And, that sounds quite nice. Because a lot of the... text-to-speech voices that I'd heard until now, they kind of were playing on the fact that a lot of these voices do sound like the speech generator that Professor Hawkins uses. And I thought, you know, everybody has that, hello, my name is blah, 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 and I think you should be listening to this. And I just thought, you know what, I want a different voice to that. So I made a point of finding a voice that I thought was probably the best one from the pack, and it turned out to be a female voice, and it was a nice voice. So I thought, okay, so I've now got a way I can introduce the show. I've got a track that I can play. Can I mix it all together? And I write really bad PHP, which is a website scripting language.
I don't think you're the only one, though.
Well, I mean, at least I recognise the fact that my PHP is not good. But I kind of went out of the... I've been going to a group in Manchester for a while and kind of was talking to them about this, and people were saying, well, you know, you could write an API. An API would make all this a lot easier. And I suddenly realised that what I could actually do was script the whole lot using a combination of bash and curl and SOX, which is the sound exchange, I think is what it stands for.
Yeah.
So I'm now at a point where I've got all the tools that I need to produce a podcast without ever having to actually set up a microphone. And I thought, fantastic. All I need to do now is get some people to start submitting tracks in. And I thought, I'll be fine. I know all these podcasters, they'll all submit stuff to it. So then I went to an event in Sheffield called Podcrawl, which was where a group of podcasters all get into a room and drink, which obviously went down well. And I went along there and I pitched it to, you know, these 10 podcasters, and they were all really positive about it. And then one of them said, but I don't play Creative Commons music. And I said, well, you should be, shouldn't you? And he said, well, maybe I should, but it means that I don't know the license of the tracks that I get in, because artists just send me stuff. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's just great. So out of these 10 podcasters, I've got one podcaster, which is Dave Lee from the Bugcast, and he podcasts probably around about between 25 to 50% of the tracks that he plays, he submits to CC Hits. And it's, you know, between Dave and I, we've worked quite hard together, and we've got together a couple of scripts that you can use to upload stuff into CC Hits. And Dan Lynch has started putting a few of the tracks that he plays in there, and I've been speaking to a couple of guys from a podcast called the Music Manumit Podcast. And, you know, I'm starting to draw bits and pieces together. And with each group of people that comes into CC Hits and starts submitting tracks into the system, I get more and more kind of an idea of, you know, what else does CC Hits need to do? And so that's kind of where I am now. I've got a template for each show. And I've got three shows that are produced by CC Hits. There's The Daily Show, which is a, like I said, it's a show that's produced every day. And it selects one track that hasn't been played by the site at all through its history. And it plays that track in the feed. Now, to be fair, because of some issues in the code, because it's bad PHP, since November the, I can't remember what the date of the first one was, but sometime late November, up till today, we have had exactly one duplicate. So we ditched that one show. So in 200 and something shows, are we up to 200 and something shows? Maybe 100 and late hundreds, early 200s. I have only had one track that has gone missing, and that was because it was a duplicate.
Oh, okay.
Please don't ask how I got to that, because my original intention had been create something that's really simple, works really easily, never have to touch it.
So essentially what you CC Hits is a place where you can subscribe to this daily show in your feed reader, your podcast catcher, mm-hmm. in your podcatcher, and it will take that show and put it onto your media yes. player for you.
Excellent. So once you've got the daily show, it encourages you to get involved in voting. And that's not, you know, go out and vote for your local MP or, you know, vote on the stuff that you're really interested in. What you're voting for is, do I like this track or not? And that's really key to CC Hits, because the daily show feeds into the weekly show. And the weekly show plays the last 7 days' worth of tracks. Now, that doesn't sound like it needs a lot of voting, and it doesn't, but it also plays the highest voted upon tracks from the previous week. So out of 14 days worth of tracks, there are 10 tracks played on the show, and it's down to the voting of the people that listen to the shows that decide whether or not the three tracks from the previous week turn up in the weekly show for the following week. So that's, you know, that's kind of interesting. And I started to notice that, hey, hang on a second, if I'm getting people to vote for the weekly show, I could have a top 40 show. You know, almost like a proper radio station. I could have a top 40 track show. Yeah.
Top the pops.
So I thought, okay, that's what I'm aiming for here. So now, each month, there is a top 40 track show. And that takes all of the votes that have been placed over the entire life of the site. And it says, to make it a little bit fairer, every time your track is played on a weekly or a monthly show, it loses 5% of its votes. So that should, in theory, mean that the same track shouldn't be at number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that were there in the first week.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it should be. It's not quite how it has turned out, because the difference between the top 5 tracks and the next track is something like 60 votes. So you can keep losing 5% of your votes, but you're never going to get under Yeah, it's going to be until sort of round about the point where it's about to exit the chart completely is the point at which you will stop having those same tracks at the top. But, you know, we're getting there. It's close.
Okay.
Of course. Oh, sorry.
And
I was going to say, of course, the tracks that are at the top are the ones that have got, you know, huge followings that are really interested in those tracks. So Dan Lynch, his band, £20 Sounds, that track's near in there. Horoscope, yep. They're in there. They got quite a lot of votes really quickly, actually. I was really impressed with that because for quite a long time, Jimmy Carter by £20 Sounds was number one for like a really long time. And suddenly out of nowhere came Horoscope, which I was really impressed with. Because that was kind of what I'd really hoped it would be, was where it would, you know, you'd get tracks that people were really interested in and they would suddenly go right to the top. So, you know, so
would it not have made more sense to have the voting based on the, you know, the amount of time that it's on the system? So, I don't know. Divided by the number of days that it's, the number of votes divided by the number of days or something
like
that?
Well, to be fair, I mean, I kind of toyed with a few different voting systems in my head when I first went into this. The fact that the same group of tracks had been, you know, so highly rated for so long, I'm kind of thinking when we get towards the end of our first year, I might change the way that the charts are produced. Then, I'm also going to start experimenting with things like it'll be the top 40 tracks by unique artists. So if you've got two tracks by the same artist in the chart, only play the first one, not the second one. So that will then reduce the impact the top one has by 5%, and eventually the second one will overtake it. And, you know, again, it's all about trying to get a balance here. But I mean, like I said, the difference between third place and fourth place is 70 votes, and between fourth place and fifth place is, no, I tell a lie, between fourth place and sixth place is 50 votes. So there's quite a big gap between you know, a few of the places. So I mean, certainly I would be interested in hearing, you know, some of the listeners' perspectives on, you know, alternative ways of doing the voting. And one of the benefits to the way that the site's been produced is it's all available for anyone to have a look at the code that makes it work. It's all hosted on a public Git repository. So anyone that knows their way around PHP, more than happy for them to get involved in the coding, you know, see if they can do something better. I mean, certainly the look of the site is atrocious. So, you know, if you can improve on that, bring it, please.
what's the license?
So it's AGPL version 3. Is the license?
Bradley Coon would be very happy with you.
Well, I mean, I've been interested in a few projects that have been AGPL licensed for a while. And the way that I kind of look at it is that if you're looking at a networked resource like a web service, the difference between the GPL and the BSD licenses at that point is pretty much moot from a user's perspective, because they can never do anything with the code that's there. Because even though it's GPL code, the only people you need to share that code with is the people that are running the website. And I thought that wasn't really very fair. So when I found the AGPL license, and the first time I was really, I knew about it, but I never really kind of did anything with it until I got interested in Identica and the StatusNet project, or Laconica as it was, who made very clear that they were an AGPL project. So just again, just to explain the difference between GPL, the GNU General Public License, and the AGPL, the GNU Afro General Public License, is that the GPL requires that anyone that runs a copy of the code should have access to the source code that created it. Which between, if I've got a Linux or a GNU Linux, depending on how you prefer to describe it, a Linux distribution, you have to have access to all of the source code that makes all of the GNU GPL licensed code in that distribution. But when you're looking at it from a website perspective, like I said, it's only the webmasters that have to share the differences to the code. So if I make like a WordPress plugin, for sake of argument, and I hand it to you, and you make a change to it, because you are not sharing that change of code with anyone, you don't have to make your changes available to anyone. But with an Afro GPL licensed work, any time that resource is made available as a networked resource, you also have to make available a copy of the source code. So
I could go and take your entire site and do a traditional Irish music network based on all your code.
To be honest, the one instance of it that I've been expecting to start for some time, and I've been quite surprised that it hasn't, is a Podsafe version of CC Hits. So that it's not that the tracks have to be Creative Commons licensed, they just need to be safe to be played on other podcasts. Because certainly the guy that I was talking to early on, that said, I don't know what the tracks are that I don't know what the licenses that the tracks are that I'm playing. I just know that I'm playing a track. Well, he could put that track into a Podsafe chart system that, is based on the CC Hits code. We just haven't got there yet.
Yeah. Well, I prefer myself to know that the music is licensed under a particular code, because if a guy sends you a CD, was their intention to allow you to redistribute it or not? But with the CC hits, with the CC license, at least you know where you stand.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the unfortunate downsides to people's understanding of the Creative Commons licenses is and this was something that I was kind of aware of when I got into CC Hits, but I only really figured out how much of a problem it was when I was talking to a radio station that were talking about using CC Hits, the CC Hits charts on their show. And they said, well I've had a look through the top 10 of, so the top 40 tracks that are on your site, and of those, about 15 we think contain material that we can't play. And I was like, oh right, okay, well, why is that? And they said, well, it contains samples from non Creative Commons material, so they can't use it without getting permission from the license holder. And as I started to look into it, I realized that, yeah, actually, they're right. Different regions around the world have different understanding of this sampling agreement. America in particular has a fair use agreement, where you can play a certain amount of time, and that's fine. And other countries, I'm not entirely sure where, but other countries seem to have no qualms whatsoever about, you know, taking the entire backing track from a song, as long as you're not materially reusing the artist's work, but the backing track doesn't seem to be, or, you know, those sorts of things. And that kind of started to make me a bit nervous. And as I was kind of looking around at other stuff, I seem to recall sending a particularly angry rant on Identica at one point about, oh, you know, I can't believe that such and such a website don't police the submissions from their users more closely. And someone came back and sort of said, well, why should they? You know, there is no way that you can guarantee that a track is Creative Commons licensed. And I just sort of sat back and kind of went, oh, you know what, he's right. So, to a certain extent, I mean, it's kind of hampered getting involved with commercial radio stations, because effectively I'd have to do a discovery process on every single track that's being played. Otherwise, it doesn't meet the UK have a communications regulator called Ofcom, and you know you have to you have to ensure that it's not materially, you know, effectively ripped off from another artist. But also, if the work is not in the English language, you have to have a full English translation to play it on a UK site.
Please.
If you want to play it in a commercial, you know, if you want to make it a play over the airwaves, you have to have a full English translation so that they can check and make sure that it doesn't contain any obscenities or hate text or, you know, things like that. Which, I mean,
okay, makes sense, I guess.
But at the same time, it does kind of hamper how you can do it. So I was then kind of looking at, you know, do I want to make another database column that says has been vetted for UK, you know, Ofcom regulations, and then, you know, a similar one for, you know, another column which says, you know, is in the UK language or has no language at all, you know, and then you start looking at, well, you know, do I actually want to go down this route when realistically all I wanted to do was promote Creative Commons tracks? And
well, that kind of prevents you from, you know, giving this to shops and the like, so that they don't have to pay.
So that's, I mean, that has kind of put a bit of a crimp in it. And yeah, at the moment, my main focus is making the code so it's more understandable by people that may want to get involved in developing on it, so that in, you know, 6 months to a year's time, when, you know, the code is starting to look a bit cleaner and potentially I've got a little bit more time to spend with my son, you know, that is, I can start maybe thinking about handing some of this off to someone else or getting more people involved in the project, so that we can start doing things like, you know, making sure that, you know, the text of the, you know, that we've basically got what I mentioned, the column that says, you know, is vetted for Ofcom use, or
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
And then start saying to commercial radio stations, you know, we've got this pool of music which has been vetted for use on a radio station. Do you want to use it?
Yeah, go for it.
But, you know, I mean, at the same time,
well, that's, yes, as you say, down the road. Right, and because of the way you structured your project, there's nothing to stop somebody submitting a patch and then you, you know, people verifying the database, a track against the database. I mean, this is something that can be added on at a later date. Can I just go back to, you know, you seem to be struggling to get people adding stuff to the websites. How, say that I was an artist, which I'm not, except in my dreams, and I wanted to submit some Creative Commons music or get in touch with some artist who would submit stuff from Creative Commons. First of all, I would have two questions. What type of Creative Commons license do you accept? And secondly, if you could walk me through the workflow of what I need to do to upload some music.
Okay, so with regards to the first part, the license that we accept any Creative Commons license. So that's CC by... as I mentioned before, there's different types of license. You've got Creative Commons by attribution, which is usually abbreviated to CC by. CC by share alike, that's SA. CC by share alike NC, non-commercial. By NC, ND, no derivatives. Basically, there's a matrix of six licenses that you end up with, just with the various permutations. And there's also Creative Commons Zero, which is not a license but a waiver, which says that because territories outside the US don't have, some territories outside the US don't have a concept of public domain usage, CC BY is intended to provide the same status of a work as public domain, but without using the term public domain, which may not have the same meaning in all languages.
Yeah, so the artist is giving a waiver, a permanent waiver, correct, to use their work forever, but the copyright still remains with them.
One other license which isn't in there at the moment, but I'm hoping to add soon, is I believe it's a French license, which is Art Libre, which is basically the same sort of concept, and it works out more or less to by no derivatives license, but I'm still looking into exactly how that works and whether that would work with the site. And because the license conditions aren't as easy to find as a link in text in the websites that I'm scraping data from, I'm not using that just yet. But, you know, again, within a month, 2 months, 6 months, that should be in there as well. So that answers your question around what licenses we can accept. With regards to the workflow of getting traffic into CC HITS, it's a combination of really straightforward and, at the moment, bloody difficult. There is a script, a PHP script. PHP is not just a website development language. It can also be run from a command line. And this script, as it stands at the moment, you can just put in the few, I think it's six metadata bits that the site needs, which is the track name, the artist name, the track URL, the artist's URL, whether the track is work safe or not, and the file name. So if you've got those bits of metadata, you can put them into a text file, run that text file using the PHP program, and that will upload the track to my site. But that means you need to have PHP and a library for PHP, which is called curl. So once you've got those two bits, it just works, provided you don't mind sitting there and typing in the bits and pieces to make it work. One of the things that I have been doing for the last 4 weeks is taking the bit of code that runs the upload script and turn it into a web page that somebody can go and use. And the the reason that it's taken so long is effectively for most of the use that I expected to see with CC HITS was with podcasters using like one or two websites like Jamendo, which is a great Creative Commons music repository, and has a huge amount more tracks, Creative Commons tracks, than CC Hits has, but they have a different focus. Their focus is to get an artist to put an album of music on the site. And CC Hits is looking for the best of the best Creative Commons tracks that are out there at the moment to promote those ones, to promote the basically the best stuff that's out there. So I was expecting people to say, well, I've played these 10 tracks from Jamendo. So they go into their text file and they do, my show contains track number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc., etc., etc. And the script just goes, oh, right, okay.
Yep.
So we want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. And I'll just pull down all of that data, that metadata, from Jamendo, including the file name, the artist's URL, the track, the URL to get information about the track, the name of the track, the name of the artist, and just squirt that to CC Hits. But to make sure that, you know, if you've already downloaded the track because you're playing it on your podcast, well, you can tweak that a bit. You can say, well, don't bother downloading it because I've already got it on my system, so get it from here and use that. And taking that kind of framework and kind of squidging it a bit and, you know, having it work like a web page does, it didn't quite fit together the way I wanted it to, which is why I'm working on making the site work better. Well, that was kind of one of the first things that made me realize that was what I needed to do, was where I was taking a load of libraries that I'd already written for the upload script, and they just didn't fit into the way that CC Hits worked as a website. So right at this moment, that upload script, or alternatively, if you're a bit of a command line junkie, you just want to use curl, you can just use curl to upload it. And it's really straightforward. But as I said, it just takes that pinch of pre-work to get it to do it. But I'm working on it. So again, if anyone wants to get involved in helping me get more sites documented, currently the uploader works with Jamendo, SoundCloud, there's three of them, three more. It's supposed to be working with the Free Music Archive. I finished working on there's a scraper, because their API doesn't work the way that CC Hits expects it to work yet. I understand they're making some changes to that, but that's not there yet. So Free Music Archive, we're using a scraper, and also Sounds, is it Sounds or Section Z? SectionZ.com, that's being picked up imminently as well. So basically, I'm looking for sites that play Creative Commons, you know, that promote Creative Commons music, because frankly, that stuff's really important. And so, yeah, I'm quite aware of the fact I've become really impassioned and really waffly since you last asked a question. So I'm going to shut up for a second and see if you've got any more questions.
No, that's actually cool. So rather than just playing any Creative Commons songs, what you're essentially doing is you're going through the filtering process of where some guy or girl, I'm using guy in the generic term here, will listen to a whole go of songs and then will just pick out the cream of the crop. It makes me think of one of our guys here, Pokey, who went and downloaded all the song fight music, and in his episode he says that 99.999% of it is questionable, and there are a few gems in there, and he's been adding them to his show. So that got me thinking, well, you know, is that something that here in HPR we could try and encourage people to start tagging on some Creative Commons music to the end of their shows, and then we could feed that back into
absolutely. I mean, I I've been working, as I said, with a couple of podcasters, and I would love to get more tracks into CC Hits, and from a source like HPR, where you've got, you know, people, a large quantity of people that are quite discerning and quite careful about the tracks that they like to listen to. They're really quite diverse. I mean, you know, one of the aims that I originally had for CC Hits was for it to be a lot like a commercial UK radio station. Obviously, that's where I'm from, so that's what I kind of imagine a radio station should be like. But the more I talk to people outside the UK, the more I realise that actually, I think UK radio stations are quite unique in the way that they, you know, they play from a relatively wide track list. You may not think that at the time when you're listening to it, but they have quite a wide field of tracks that they play from, and you know the shows that they produce are more or less. They tend to have shows that cater to a large quantity of people, and it's only when you start getting to sort of the later night shows and things like that that you start to get more of the you know the smaller demographic shows, I think is probably the best way to describe it. You know, you'll have the reggae show, or they'll have a, you know, a drum and bass night, or a metal show. Yeah, so metal, I mean, yeah. Initially I was quite, I might even have been quite critical of a few suggestions that had come in. And in hindsight, I was actually really stupid, sort of saying, actually, no, I don't like that track you're submitting. The one kind of thing that I'm actively encouraging people not to submit is anything that's longer than sort of 9 or 10 minutes. We have one track that's on the site that is more than 10 minutes, and it's actually 18 minutes long. But it was the first time I'd heard a piece of dubstep that I really actually enjoyed. And I kind of went, wow, I need to have this on CC Hits. And it was only after I'd submitted it I realised just how long it was. And I thought, well, because I'm
fair enough.
Prior to CC Hits, I was very much a metalhead on one side, and I had a sliver of late 90s house sort of style music as kind of, those were the two categories of music that I went out of my way to listen to, and doing CC Hits has really opened my eyes to kind of how great some of the other stuff that is that's out there. And you know, the only downside to stuff being over sort of 10 minutes is that you lose the opportunity to play more of that in a shorter show. So if my intention is to get more people to,
you know,
play and positively promote Creative Commons music, then realistically we need it to be playable. But again, you know, if you've got, I think what I said at the time was, you know, as long as I have no more than one track that's more than 10 minutes in a month, then I'm happy. And so far I seem to have, you know, only had the one, so it's not too bad. Sorry.
So do you vet their music?
Ish. There's two things. People that want to upload stuff to the site have to request an uploader account from me, purely because I don't want it to become kind of just a dumping ground for anyone and everyone to put anything they want in there. So that basically, there's like a two-step operation that someone that wants to submit the tracks to the site has to do. They have to run a web, try and access a web page, it will return an error saying that it wasn't able to access the web page, and then tell me what the username was you used to try and run that action. And I basically go in and I tick a box that says can upload. There are two further tracks, tick boxes, one which says is automatically permitted to authorize a track, which basically, when a track is authorized, it can be played on the site without question. At the moment, okay, everyone has that tick box switched on as well, because there previously wasn't and is an uploader box. It was previously is authorized to upload tracks or not, and now it's can upload a track but isn't authorized, or can upload a track and is authorized. There's also another one which is an admin, and that is an administrator of shows, so they can create a show, add a track to a show, rename the show, change the URL for it, those sorts of things, but it's only in their own shows. So again, podcasters all tend to be in that third tick box as well. Every morning I have a script which runs and tells me all of the tracks which haven't yet been played. And basically I check that every morning to make sure that I'm not down to two tracks left. Because when I hit get to two tracks, it means that at some point over the next 2 days, I need to remember to get onto my computer and find some more tracks to play, because other people haven't submitted them. And typically
we have the same problem over here in HPR, but I don't have the luxury of being able to pull the shows out of the air.
Now so you can just, you know, we have do to go a CC site, to CC show. Absolutely, see?
That's not CC hits.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the one thing. And what I'll tend to do is I'll look at the names of the tracks, and if there's anything there that kind of makes me go, a set? Ooh, set seems a bit long. Let me just have a look at how long that runs for. And I've had that in two cases. Somebody submitted from Blipfest not too long ago. They submitted the 2 30-minute long sets from Blipfest. And I kind of thought, a set isn't one track. That's a whole DJ's act on stage. So I have to admit, I did remove those two. The only other thing that I look for is, because I use Festival to generate the all the bumpers, all the bits of introduction and outro snippets of text. If I spot something that's in there that looks like it wouldn't sound the way that it's written, if that makes sense, I will go in and check and make sure that whoever it was that uploaded it marked it as being, because there's two other fields you can add to when you make your submission to the site, which is track name sounds like and artist name sounds like. That's not the names of the fields that you have to submit, but basically that's what it is. So things like £20 sounds, which is written 20 lb sounds, and change the artist name to saying 20 space pounds space sounds. So that's kind of the only other thing that I check. And to be honest, as we go along, the people that are less efficient at marking a track with unusual names, unusual spellings of names, are probably going to be the only people that get their is authorized tags turned off. And that's not because they're not authorized to submit a track into the site, because they still have the uploader tag on their user account. But it's purely just so I can go in and say, actually, these need to be checked to make sure that they sound right before they go in. But, you know, I mean, even that's not disastrous. You know, if you get something that sounds like gibberish, you know, you might even be more inclined to look at the show notes and find out what they were actually called. I don't know. I've not really done a whole lot of investigation into who listens to the show, to the extent that, you know, every time I've looked into maybe adding some kind of analytics to the site, it's always been, well, that's not really anywhere near kind of anything that's particularly important right now. The important thing right now is getting enough music in there that we don't need to worry about that. You know, we don't need to worry about if we want to create a show that plays, you know, 8 hours of music that's suitable for playing in a work pace, that doesn't have creative, that isn't a non-commercial tagged track.
Okay, that was actually one of my next question. You can filter down the particular types of tracks by license then, can you?
I can, because I have the database passwords. Most people can't.
But this is definitely something that, you know, we could, as a community, submit a patch to you to put a PHP page up on the website to generate that sort of stuff.
There is actually, I have a wiki which details kind of all of the things that I want to do to CC hits.
Links will be in the show notes.
Which is code.cchits.net. And somewhere near the bottom of that, there's a thing that says there's a wish list, which is a cross between an issue tracker and a roadmap. You can get involved there. And effectively, that is intended to be, you know, like a public debate about what is going to happen to the site in the long term. So there's things like add per show votes to the track entries, which we now have. Add not safe for work reporting to tracks, which we don't. So, for example, if when I submit something to the site at sort of 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm, you know, half awake and I miss somebody saying rather rude words all the way through it, and somebody else comes along and says, oh, I can't believe that's in there, they should just be able to tick a button that says, this might contain something that says rude things. That would then take it out of the approved status, would mean that it doesn't make it into the weekly show or the monthly show. I haven't really worked through all the mechanics yet of how it's supposed to work. And that's why it's in the wish list, because it's something that we wish to do. And basically, if people have got suggestions on things that they want to do in there, then go to the wiki and edit the wish list and put stuff they want in there.
Cool. John, I'm going to basically wrap this up now, if that's okay with you, because we're running over an hour. Not that.
Oops.
Yeah, we can continue talking if that's okay with you. But I just wanted to say that, put the shout out to some HPR people who listen on HPR who are into the music. If they're interested, the links to cchits.net will be in the show notes. If you're interested in coding, there's something here for you as well. If you are interested in putting together a CC Hits best of show, that's absolutely something that we on HPR will be happy to carry. We have All Songs Considered, which hasn't been on in a while, but where people can submit any songs that they like and like have a meta show within HPR. And of course, I'm sure you're looking for people. I think I've just made some notes here. You're looking for people to help you with the design of the website. You're looking for people with coding.
Yes.
And you're looking for people to submit. Did I miss anywhere else that you need help?
If you are involved in making music, playing music, promoting music, or if you know of sites that are playing Creative Commons music, I would love for you to get in touch with me, so that I can talk to you about either getting the tracks played on CC Hits, submitted to CC Hits, or even just credit people that are playing tracks, because that's one of the main things that, I've made a point of right from the beginning with CC Hits, is that even if a particular show that has played a track that's on the site do not want to submit their tracks to CC Hits, the fact that you've played that track, I want to credit you because you're playing something that is fantastic. And so anytime I spot a track that's been played on a site, I make a point of adding it to CC Hits that it's been played there.
Okay, cool. And this actually, I'm just thinking of some of the podcasts that I listen to that have music at the end of their shows. This would be definitely something that I'm going to email them about and just say, would you consider adding your podcast to, you know, to the CC Hits?
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Yeah. That'd be brilliant.
One thing I think people need to know is the quality of the music on CC Hits is excellent. I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but in work I tend to just like to have music podcasts on.
Mm.
And CC Hits, when I initially subscribed, I expected to be deleting, you know, 90% of the music, which is kind of what I'm getting on other people's shows, but I've found that it's more like 20% or even 10%.
Wow.
That a lot of the music is knocking around, and I'm now looking at in my podcast directory, I'm looking at a list of 20 or 30 different songs that I just can't, you know, delete. You know, some of them I'll listen to for a while and then delete them. But I now like a face, what, the podcast, what am I going to do? Should I move them into my music directory or what? So, and it's also prompted me to download a lot of the artists' albums and stuff.
Sure.
And I always do make a point of voting for the albums as well, for the songs as well.
One of the things that I'd like to get to in the next year is actually to have one extra show. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to be a selection of random tracks, maybe five tracks, I'm not sure yet, that are in the top half of the chart, but aren't in the top 40.
Ah, yeah.
But I'm not there yet. I mean, it's something that's in the to-do list. I'm not even sure if it's in the wish list, but it's somewhere in the to-do list that I want to get to that as soon as possible.
You can get, I'm just looking at the About page here, and you've got a direct link to your database.
Correct.
I can click here and get the database.
You can get a full export of the database in full.
Under Creative Commons Zero License. So I could just download this database, make my own feed, and do some magic data manipulation and use your database.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, the API gives you all the same information that is on the track pages. Every single track, all the data that's in those tracks is in the API.
So the database is free.
Yep.
All the software that you're using to run it is free, as in freedom.
Yep.
The music itself is various forms of free.
Yep.
This is, yeah, it's just fantastic work. I'm going to buy you a beer when you're at Odd Camp, that's for sure.
Very generous of you, sir. Thank you very much.
And I know that that will probably be enough to knock you out if you've got a small baby. So
yeah, just the one. I'll be a cheap date.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else that we missed?
No. I think that's everything. Oh, the email address to get in touch with me is show, S-H-O-W, at cchits.net. That's cchits.net.
And that you actually read that?
I read everything that comes into that. Absolutely everything that comes into that.
Fantastic. Well, I hope some of the listeners to HPR will after listening to this mammoth episode, but it is very interesting. So far, I've been enthralled listening to you talk about it. But I hope a few of them will step up and, you know, kind of get involved in the site in some way or another, and that we can at least maybe get some way of that we as a podcast here can start submitting shows over to cchits.net.
That would be fantastic. And as I said, it's really straightforward to do it. So I look forward to getting in touch with more of your podcasters.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net. So head on over to caro.net for all your hosting.